Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndySgirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
I don't need to study for the bar. I'm too busy raising it.
I'm not here to start drama, but my pig and emoji is.
I like it.
I like the pig and emoji. I wanted to record this whole episode as an emoji. Yeah.
Is it the year? I think Chinese legend tells us it is in fact the year of the pig and emoji.
Oh wow, I love that.
Kelly's just being festive and factually correct, and I appreciate it.
I went on a couple dates with a guy who not exciting.
Was it Sean? Was it Bronwyn's husband?
No, but I do think he's gay.
Yeah, so that's, I think so too. Something for us to talk about.
We can talk about that. no, but when we met on an app and started texting, he would only respond with in emojis.
Ever?
Yes. The first night we were chatting, like I would text him and he would respond with an emoji, and I was like, could you respond normally? Because I am trying to like watch my stories and I have to like listen to every like an emoji you send me. It was very weird and it should have been, you know, a red flag. We're not dating currently.
I mean, that is a choice that person is making. And so is me introducing this week's episode. You guys, it's Andy's Girls 119.
Jesus.
You know, it actually should be a lot more than that, but there have been times where I've taken like a solid couple months off, so now I'm catching up to it, and I'm so excited I didn't take this week off because I am joined by one of my absolute favorite co-hosts, Lewis Peitzman, writer, creator of the High Drama newsletter that covers content on horror, theater, and housewives. Twitter legend.
Okay.
That's Twitter friend with Chrissy Teigen, which puts you in the history books, my friend. That great. Is a valuable.
If that's my claim to fame,
it is.
I have peaked.
I mean, that's her claim to fame, to be friends with you. All right. Lewis Peitzman, how are you? It's boiling hot.
It's not. It's like sticky. Kind of cooling down, but it's sticky still Friday. Humid. And I'm over it. And I'm over summer.
Well, I feel like it's been a hot second, speaking of the weather, since you've been on the people's couch. Has it been a little bit? I feel like
it's been a moment, yeah.
It was the last time you were on, I think, was right around when your New York Times piece,
the Stassi story.
That was published.
That was a while ago.
So, what was your reaction to Stassi's engagement to America's Sweetheart, Bo?
I'm thrilled for Stassi.
They are the perfect couple.
I really like Bo. I've seen some like Bo backlash online, which I find to be a little bit silly.
Because we can't all fuck him?
That's probably where it comes from. But I've seen some people say that like he is like riding her coattails and like wants to be famous. And I was like, and that like he'd want to get on the show. And I was like, no, she like desperately wanted someone to be on the show with her.
She wanted someone that understood her. And a part of understanding her is understanding she's on a reality TV show and needs to show her life.
I'm sure that he loves that people are so into him. Like anyone would, right? You like go on go on a reality show and like everyone's like, oh my God, you're our instant favorite. We're obsessed with you, whatever. It's going to like, you're going to like it and you're going to want more attention. But I don't think that makes him like, I don't think he was like entering this relationship to get to like to get on TV, to like get, you know, into that circle. That seems very silly.
That's insane to me, A. And B, I don't know that there's a Bravo celebrity whose purity and honesty and truth I trust more than Bo's, aside from Stephanie Holman of Dallas.
Well, but she's troubled.
She's not troubled. Aside from her political affiliations, listen, we're not all going to agree. She has sex with Travis and I am here for it. And they build their little locker of love. And I die for Stephanie Holman. I am a Stephanie stan.
I like Stephanie a lot. I'm just saying she's troubled. Bo seems a little bit more stable to me.
How is because she's had struggles?
No, yeah, but just in general, she just seems
a little passive.
I don't mean that I don't like her. I mean that I worry about her sometimes. She seems a little fragile.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think she's fragile. And what I love about her is that she's been honest about her fragility.
Totally.
Which I think has brought me closer in my imaginary best friendship with her.
My point, I guess, is just that like Bo is so normal seeming.
He's so normal.
He's like,
I love him so, I like genuinely am sexually attracted to him.
The other thing that was weird, like backlash wise, was because he's going on her book tour with her or something, or like whatever speaking tour she's doing. She's doing some
book
sort
tour.
Of...
It's like a longer book tour, I think, related to the podcast too.
Right.
Maybe.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's going with her. People were like, oh, like he just was desperate to join. And I was like, maybe she wanted her boyfriend to go on a trip with her. Like why? Like you guys are looking for things to like.
I think it's because people are so used to seeing partners of Real Housewives whose intentions might not be pure, a la Gretchen and Slade, or a la Dr. Brian Reagan and what's her face? oh my God, I just forgot Kelly's name. That's okay, the first time that's ever happened.
I would say the majority of housewives' boyfriends are bad.
Yeah, I agree with
and
you.
And I think that they mostly do want to be on TV because it's a very hard sell to be like, do you want to join me on this reality show? Especially early on in a relationship. Like, Kelly's boyfriend, 3 months in, being like, yeah, I'll film a bunch with you. Like, major red flag. And he is insanely creepy. We'll get to that. But
yeah, and him wanting to start a business with her. We'll get to that. A teen pimple business.
I can't.
Get them in the Botox in the door.
Yes. But, you know, I don't think that's what's happening with Bo. I think it's weird. I mean, I remember when my former coworker Kate Arthur interviewed Bethany, and maybe I've mentioned this on the podcast before.
Love Kate Arthur.
But Bethany was like talking about Jason, and like said that one of the things, like, she can't really talk about him at all, but like, I would never again date someone who wanted to be on the show, that she thought Jason would like was good and pure, and that actually he had ulterior motives or whatever. He wanted to do a reality show with her. I think it's more complicated than that, but like, I do understand that anyone who is willing to film with you, like, even though you might want them to film with you, like, there is a cause for concern. Like, you can't really, I mean, it's sort of lose-lose, right? Because you can't, you don't want to do it by yourself, but you, but also, like, how could you not be a little suspicious when someone is kind of like,
yeah,
know.
I'll film with you. I'm
and,
so excited.
And sometimes I think it's fine. Like, you know, Terry Dubrow obviously loves being on camera.
More than Heather.
Well, I think he does love
at
Heather.
At least at the beginning. Not more than loving Heather, but more than Heather liking to be on camera.
Oh, I thought you were saying he loves being, yes.
I mean, maybe.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And like, there's something there where you're like, okay, you're a little bit fame hungry, but they also have a real relationship. If it's a newer relationship, like Stassi and Bo, I understand why people are kind of trying to find, like, they feel some sort of apprehension. But I don't think that Bo is using Stassi.
The interesting thing about what you just said and about Bethany's interview with Kate Arthur is the fact that back in the day, for those 2 weeks when Bethany and Jason were happily married, Bethany said on, I think, an episode, this is several years ago, I think an episode of Watch What Happens Live, she and Andy were talking about Jason and how great it was, how it seemed like he had no interest in being on TV, and she was like, isn't this great? And Andy referenced the fact that he had wanted to do some sort of like honeymoon related, you know how they do games on the show, right? He had wanted to do some sort of like honeymoon game related game with Jason and Bethany, and Jason was like, absolutely not, I'm not coming on Watch What Happens. And Andy and Bethany were both like, isn't this amazing that he doesn't want to be on the show and he has no interest? And to see the evolution of that,
right?
And certainly, you know, we don't really know his ulterior motives, how obvious they may be, but just watching her spinoff shows, and obviously her spinoffs were essentially entirely about their relationship.
Right.
The business was portrayed through the lens of their relationship, through the lens of Bethany trying to get Jason to be more involved, and then dealing with, you know, his feedback to the business and whatever else, and then their struggles and the downfall. It's fascinating to see, like, was that initial moment where he was like, go fuck yourself, I'm not going to appear and Watch What Happens in a game, was that a real moment? Did he really not want to be involved, and then he got bitten by the bug?
Yeah, or? I mean, I think that, like, it's natural to, like, you're on TV, people are like, oh, you seem like cool and handsome and normal, and I want to see more of you on TV, to want to then continue doing it. And also obviously the money, but I don't know. I can see how, like, someone like Bo would go from, you know, cautious but wanting to support his girlfriend to, like, actually being quite into it.
I honestly look at Bo, and I mean this in the best possible way. He's just like a little Pump Rules labradoodle. He's just so happy. He seems really affectionate. He has his thing of, like, wanting to hang out with the guys and get a little drunk. He's not so up Stassi's ass that he will do everything she asks for, which is why she still has her Stassi meltdowns when she becomes, like, her own little Tequila Katie.
Right.
I mean, who is your favorite couple on Pump Rules? And you can include Lisa and Ken in that.
Why would I ever include Lisa and Ken in anything?
I mean, snap.
No, it's Stassi and Bo. I mean, there's no competition. Right?
Who's your favorite? And this can be present or former, like, married or couple. It doesn't have to be married on Housewives, like any franchise.
Oh.
It's hard, right? Because so many of them are fucked.
I mean, they almost all are. I mean, I love Heather and Terry. for better or worse. I love the Dubrows.
They fit together. And they feel like there's enough friction that makes it real. She does genuinely get annoyed at him.
Of course. But also, like, they actually like each other. And I think that they are, like, beneath all whatever good people, which I don't feel about many people on these shows.
I agree. My pick would be Heather Thompson and was Jonathan his name?
Whatever his name is, short sure. Guy, but he was him. So like not on the show. I mean, right. He was on the show, but like...
He was like in the background, and I believe that they have a healthy relationship.
Totally.
And I also have to say, I know that they're super new at this and we'll see what happens, but I really love Denise and Aaron. I mean, we'll see what happens if and when she's back next season. She said she's confirmed, but I don't know if that's real.
The rumor was that she'd signed on for 3 seasons.
Oh, right. So, of course. Oh, that's interesting. That's a risk.
It was a big risk. I think it will pay off.
I think it absolutely already has.
Well, I love Denise, and she was like a breath of fresh air. But I do think that they expected her to bring more drama and that she kind of laid low for much of the season.
Yeah, I think the thing with Camille, love her or hate her, is that she brought out the best in Denise, and by best I mean worst.
Yeah, totally.
The value of a villain.
I really wonder if Camille's gonna come back next season.
I genuinely don't see why she would, if she intends to continue the victim narrative, which she's espousing on Twitter, calling the other woman trash, you know, sticking her head even further up LVP's ass.
Season one, she was, you know, the villain, and then she came back and had a really successful redemption
season.
Same
Camille.
So I could see her trying to spin this and come back and do her apology tour and be like, you know, back to voice of reason.
I mean, Camille. Maybe she'll cameo. I could see her coming back as a friend of if and when LVP returns in 2 or 3 seasons, which I do think is going to happen depending on where Pump Rules goes.
Yeah, but I think it'll depend on what happens with Pump Rules.
So what were your thoughts on sort of the dissolution of plot on Beverly Hills, the reunion cycle, Team LVP versus Team Everyone Else? What did you think?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just was so over it by the end, because I feel like any, you know, we talked about this like very early on when we were like, is Lisa going to come to the reunion, like way back when?
Yeah.
And like, it was such a cheat to not show up and to kind of like quit the show via interview. Like, the whole thing was just like, she really blew any opportunity to get resolution. And the fact that she was able to do that and probably will still be welcome back when she wants to come back just kind of annoys me. And it makes me very much not on her side. I think she leaked that story. I don't think it really matters. Of course.
That's what I keep saying, but I've had a lot of guests that are do you think it was her literally or Dr. John Sessa?
Someone from her camp.
Love it.
But Lisa's been doing this shit for years. Like, I don't, like, remember when she, like, when they, and they showed that flashback of all the shady stuff she's done.
Which,
like,
was amazing.
But she's done this stuff. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, you can't deny, like, when she put the magazines in, or she made sure they brought the tabloids in the suitcase on whatever trip that was.
Or the abuse arc.
Or when she told Camille to bring up Taylor's abuse. Like, we know she does this stuff. There's no denying it. And she got caught and she quit the show. And it's just like, it made for a really pointless season in so many ways. And as much as I think Camille is a terrible person, like, she's the only reason why the reunion was interesting.
And it also felt so deeply unfair to her as a friend of. Now, she said online that she has no interest in coming back full time. So the question is she going to be a friend of, which is, by the way, a friend of in name only, because she is essentially she was a full timer this season.
She was by the end. I mean, they brought her in. She was stuck around a lot longer, and they kept her on the couch way longer than they kept a friend of normally. Except, I guess, Luann and Portia probably.
Don't be cool. Be cool, don't be uncool.
When Luann and Portia were friends of, I think they were also at the reunions for almost all of it. I don't remember exactly, but I think they were treated basically like housewives.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think that Camille was on that couch for a very long time. It wasn't like a Dana Wilkie cameo to bring up another friend of the Beverly Hills Housewives.
Yeah, I think it was a sign of how weak the season was as it went on. And it was just really honestly such a shame to me because it started off so strong. I mean, I had no expectations, sort of, I think. And then I remember that premiere episode, and certainly the episode in the kitchen was like, damn, like, this is great. And I thought they were going to draw that out, and they didn't. And now I look back, I'm like, you didn't draw out the moment, but you drew out the aftermath.
Because we knew that Lisa stopped filming. So it was like, once that fight happened, you're like, well, she's not on the show anymore. And then we got, you know, 16 episodes about her remodeling her kitchen. They should have taken her out of the credits, honestly. I thought it was, like, really... I, for once, felt bad for Aviva, because...
Yes, that's exactly what I was just thinking. Wyoming. Because
when Aviva wouldn't go on the vacation and they took her out of the credits, it was, like, a punitive thing. And it's just, like, Lisa walked all over production and did all this incredibly, like...
Unprofessional.
Unprofessional shit and got catered to anyway. And it makes me angry, because what has Lisa, like... And all this stuff, everyone just like kind of like blowing smoke up her ass, and me like, Lisa made this show what it is. And it's like, did she? Like, I, you know, I appreciate Lisa and her contributions to Housewives, but like, she's never really gotten her hands dirty the way that like other OG Housewives have. Like, Lisa gets compared to like Nene and Vicky, and she's never had those messy moments.
Well, because she's been so smart about them. I think Lisa's probably one of the smartest housewives.
Sure.
Around, and manipulative. And I still appreciate... Yeah, and the manipulation's one of the best parts of her.
But it doesn't feel fair to compare her to someone like Bethany, who makes these snarky comments and also, like, probably has a lot of control over narrative, but still, like, has total breakdown moments.
I completely agree with you.
So I just feel like Lisa leaving Housewives is no great loss.
So how do you think this will affect how Pump Rules will look on the next upcoming season? Do you think she'll be in more scenes to like compensate? Do you think it'll be the same thing?
I don't know. I mean, I think Pump Rules is going to have some sort of like, people have been talking about how it needs to adjust to the fact that it's now two separate shows.
In what way?
In the fact that it's like very much a show about these like 30 somethings living in the Valley. And then also the young people who work at Sir. Not that 30-something is not young, as a 30-something myself, but that, like, they're living very different lives. Like,
yeah, there are millionaires.
Half of them are all homeowners, and they're all in the Valley. And then there's, like, you know... And, I mean, Lala obviously has a ton of money because of her man, but, like, she's not, you know, she's hanging out with the younger crowd and James and... You know, I guess Billy wants to be part of that too, although not anymore because she left the show for bullying, whatever. The point, not that I don't consider bullying serious. I just consider the source. The point is, there are two very separate camps now. And like, I've seen people talk about splitting it up into two shows, and I don't know if that would actually work.
Splitting it up into two shows and having them have like equal weight, like Pump Rules the Next Generation, Pump Rules OG, like Teen Mom style, which I do not watch but know a little bit about,
something like that. And I don't think it would work because for a lot of reasons. I think that people, like, I think that most of the 30 somethings, their lives are not as compelling now because they're all like in better places, you know, like it's just harder to tell stories about people who have like grown up and gotten married and are like living their own lives.
The nice thing though about Pump Rules, I totally hear you.
And then the other problem though is that like you have like the Sir people and you try to like cast more people, and that's never going to work the same way. The reason that Vanderpump Rules worked is because they were all friends and they all had these complicated relationships with each other. You can't force that. And every time they try to do that, it doesn't work.
The nice thing about the OGs of Pump Rules is that they will always be self-destructive. I mean, Stassi has grown a lot, but like Jax is always going to be a nightmare, you know?
Yeah, but like...
Schwartz is always going to be a drunk, sloppy mess. Like,
my concern...
Katie's not maturing. Kristen, my God.
My concern about the new season is that like I don't want a replay of all that stuff. And it looks like that's what we're going to get. We're going to get more... like cheating drama again.
With who?
Well, there's like someone brought into like this. There's like all the stories about Jax and Brittany are already unhappy, which like
they are.
That those stories that have come out.
I mean, wait, I don't know anything. I genuinely don't know anything about this.
Oh, there was like a story that was like there's already tension, and like, and then there was like something about them bringing someone new into the mix to like tempt Jax away, and then like
There's something with
you
like
give him a cardboard
there's
box
something
and
with like Katie and Schwartz and like drama there, and it's like I don't really want to like keep doing that. I mean, they're like, it was fun to have several seasons where everyone thought that everyone was cheating, but like,
I mean,
I'm sort of over it now.
I totally hear you. The thing though is with these people, like Jax is such a fuck up that like he will always be tempted. Like a part
well, that's
of
why
this
I don't believe it, because I'm like, I think that Brittany knows that and married him anyway. Because
what do you think about Brittany?
That she loves being on TV.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I mean, I don't know what her motivations were to begin with, but like, I think she loves being on TV. I think she loves the paycheck and the lifestyle. I don't, I mean, I don't know what else, why else she's doing it, by which I mean marrying Jax.
Do you think she also loves him?
I have no idea.
I think she loves him, and she also surely loves their life together. And a huge part of that is the income that they're getting and the lifestyle they are able to afford because of this reality TV show.
Right. I don't know. I'm nervous about the new season because the stories I was hearing made it seem a little bit artificial. And I know people complain about that, but like, it's like either it feels artificial or people complain that it's too boring. But I like them all enough that I don't really mind when nothing. When there are no blow-up fights, as long like I like just watching them live their lives and like have feelings.
I wonder, speaking of blow-ups, I wonder what will happen because allegedly Kristen
so this
is
like,
estranged
this
from
is
people.
Really, this is really stressing me out, yeah.
Like she's not, she didn't really, I don't think, acknowledge the Stassi and Beau engagement, or if she did, it was super delayed.
No, Kristen is definitely estranged from Stassi and Katie right now, yeah.
And then, but Schwartz still came to like one of her clothing
parties. Well,
Schwartz
never picks a side.
I mean, you would think he would pick his wife a little.
Have like, you been watching the show? He's literally,
every episode.
He's literally never picked a side. He's never picked a side.
Yeah.
He's always
he's
done
too
that.
He's dumb.
He's not dumb.
He's just like Schwartz.
He's just like not, he doesn't pick a side. Anyway, I am really anxious about a season. You know, I love Kristen. I cannot deal with another season of everyone shitting on Kristen. I thought what she went through last year was very real and very raw.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for me to watch that happen, especially when like Katie is married. I was gonna say happily married. Katie's
as happy as she can be,
right? And Stassi is in a great relationship,
right?
And Kristen is still struggling, and she's, you know, the oldest of the three, and they give her such a hard time for the fact that she was like carrying on this sort of bullshit relationship with Carter. And I get that, but also I was like, yeah, it's really hard to like be in your 30s and feel like this is maybe my last shot, which it's not, but that's how it feels.
That's how it felt
and
to
you
her.
Just
yeah,
and you just
that.
Keep it going because you're like, this is the best I'm going
to
do.
I just have to make it work.
And I get that. And I feel like they were so hard on her. And it was sad. And I'm worried about watching another season of that.
Is she still with Carter?
No, I don't think so.
She said at one point she wasn't, maybe on the reunion,
she said she wasn't
and
with
then
him.
They were like, but he's still living with you, or you're
right.
Still fucking him or something.
Right.
There was some sort of like, this isn't actually over.
I think
it
they were like,
be...
they were broken up, but like
a little.
No, I think they were broken up, but in the way that you like break up with someone who's like,
yeah,
I'll move out soon, and then you like, you know, occasionally hook up.
It was not a good relationship.
No, but I mean, like, who among us? I don't know. I don't think that Kristen is, I think she makes mistakes, of course. I just think that like, I'm sad about thinking about another season of like Kristen on the outs with people, because she worked so hard to get back into that group and to like, you know, be forgiven for her legitimately wild behavior early on.
Yeah.
And I like them being friends, but I also feel like there's like a natural tendency toward drama, and that's both like, who these people are, and also mm-hmm. like how reality TV works.
Yeah.
That like these alliances and friendships, however real they are, don't last forever.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm excited to see a cemetery proposal. When does the season come back?
It usually comes back
in the fall.
No, it's end of it's winter.
Oh shit. Okay.
It used to come back right when Beverly Hills came back.
And now we're all fucked up.
And I think it was December was when they used to come back. But Beverly Hills came back February of this year. January, February of this year. It like was delayed
and
a little bit.
It lasted forever.
And Pump Rules came back earlier than Beverly Hills. Remember? Because like
I thought it was strange. Pump Rules was the one that was dealing with Lisa's brother's suicide.
Right.
Before Beverly Hills had come back.
Right.
Which I think was the first sign that Lisa was kind of transitioning from Beverly right. Hills Housewives to Vanderpump Rules.
Right, right.
Anyway, I assume it'll be back in December.
Interesting. So, listen, Liz Peitzman.
Yes.
What a walk down Pump Rules Lane. We need to get into some of these
other
allegedly
shows.
Current franchises.
Well, I mean, you know, I love Potomac, or you, I guess you don't because you don't remember that I watch it, even though I've been talking about it. I've watched it from the beginning. I've always loved Potomac.
Oh my God. I completely texted you and I was like, so excited to record. Also, do you watch Potomac?
Of course I watch Potomac. I watch Potomac. I love Potomac, and I think it's having a really good season.
Potomac is so good that let's just like dive in and talk about it. So I am obsessed with hearing everyone's thoughts on Ashley and Michael's situation.
Oh God. Okay.
So I want to hear from you specifically Michael's situation with his own urges.
I have a lot to say about Ashley in general.
Okay. Tell
but
me.
We can start with Ashley and Michael.
Okay.
I think they have an arrangement.
You do.
I think they have some sort of understanding. I don't think it's a sham marriage.
Yeah, and you don't think it's a formal arrangement. It's
no,
just
no,
like
no, no,
a,
no.
Yeah.
I think that they have some sort of arrangement. I think that, I don't know if he's gay or bi or. I think he sleeps with men.
You think he fully has sex with men?
I don't think that Grindr story that came out was false. I think that was true. When there was a screenshot of him on
naked,
Grindr.
And yeah, she was like, "This isn't my husband's dick."
I mean, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. There's just like I think he's not straight. And, like, I think that she knows that, and that's fine. I don't think it's behind her back. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive. I think that this is all, for a variety of reasons, I think that they are together and love each other, but there's something else going on there.
I don't think that being on the DL makes you a predator, and I'm not saying that you're saying that, but I'm saying, like, that in general. But I also wonder if he was able to release some of these urges by actually like hooking up with men consensually.
I don't think we can get on that road at all. I think that's really dangerous.
What do you mean?
I think it's really problematic to like,
I just don't think that he's having genuine sexual experiences with men.
I don't think that being a predator though has anything to do with that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I don't think that like if he were if he were having sex with guys on the side, I think
it
would
make him any less.
I think
yeah.
he would still be a predator.
I totally agree with
you. I mean, Tom Cruise. Oh my God, wrong
well,
Scientologist.
John Travolta and those masseuses.
John Travolta has gripped a lot of masseurs, and that is not allegedly. He's gripped a lot of masseurs. That is not. I'm sure he is still able to, if he wants to, find a guy to have sex with on the side. I think it is about power and being into doing that.
Kevin Spacey.
And exactly. And I think that, you know, Michael, there's a spectrum of predatory behavior, and there's a difference between like there are different kind, you know, and it's hard to talk about this stuff because there is nuance, and I don't think that like I think that whatever there's levels obviously, but Michael clearly does not understand boundaries, does not respect boundaries.
I totally agree with you. By the way, I was trying to very poorly say exactly that, so continue.
Well, I just think that yeah, I mean, I think that we've seen him on the show grab guys' asses, and he says it's a friendly thing, but I don't think that Katie's boyfriend was into it, and I think that he did say
Andrew.
That comment about, you know, blowing
sucking.
One of the husbands.
Yeah,
and
Juan Sausage.
Was it Juan?
Yeah.
How do we know this?
Because one of my previous guests who works at Bravo said it was Juan, and
oh.
I was like, yeah, it's Juan. And he was like, oh, did I spoil it? And I said, no, you didn't. I think we all know it's not the Black Bill Gates. Like, we all know it's Juan. Because he had seen further episodes. Yeah, yeah. Big surprise, by the way, you guys, that it's Juan.
It's Juan. Yeah, I think this is all true. I think he, you know, drinks and does uncomfortable, inappropriate things and crosses lines. I don't, there's no reason why that cameraman would have made that story up. And that is,
and lost
you know,
his job because he quit.
And you know, you have to look at like, I mean, this is why when the allegations happen and people are like, well, it's not true. And you're like, well, why would this person lie? Like, what does he stand to gain? And I guess like, was actually suggesting that there was like trying to get money from it, but then the lawsuit he filed was not for money.
She has been extremely shady. She has even gone so far as saying, because the court said that he was innocent, this should all fucking go away. And it's like, no, nobody said that. It's just that and unfortunately, in a lot of these kinds of cases, ultimately, they feel like they don't have enough additional, like literal evidence in which they can see themselves pursuing charges. But it has never meant that it didn't happen. It just meant that, unfortunately, prosecutors felt like they didn't have enough.
Yeah. I mean,
which, again, it does not mean it didn't happen, because I think everybody on the planet, including probably Ashley, I mean, that Ashley deep down knows.
I think that Ashley knows, not deep down. I think she just knows.
You think that Ashley is aware consciously that this happened?
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that too.
I can so easily see her having a fight with him and being like, you really fucked things up by doing this. Like, what were you thinking? And him being like, I grabbed his ass. It wasn't a big deal. Whatever. I can just see this. Like, I don't think that this is like, they wouldn't have talked about this.
But then...
And I don't think that he didn't do it, and I think that he would have admitted it to her, at least privately. I mean, none of this, like... I think also, because of how we view things like ass grabbing versus, like, rape, you know, yeah. It's like, I don't, you know, there are, like I said, there's a spectrum, and I think that a lot of people don't view grabbing someone's ass as that big of a deal, and the fact that Michael did it so casually earlier seasons indicates to me that he doesn't think it's a big deal. So it's hard for me to believe that, like... It just doesn't make any sense that, like, that the whole thing is just, it feels very obvious to me. And I think that the way that other women have handled it has also been pretty gross, mostly. I think that, like, I think Giselle, honestly, was one of the best in the fact that she, like, supported Ashley, but also was like, yeah, I believe the accusations. And Ashley was like, how could you believe he did this? And it's like...
Have you not been watching this show?
But also, like, how could you not? You know, like, there's, like, it's obviously messy. I think that, like, you know, with Monique, it's like, yeah, it's hard when your friend or your friend's spouse is accused of something like this because you want to be a good friend. And so you say things like, well, we can't know we weren't there. And it's like, that's true of almost every assault allegation. Right. We weren't there, you know, but we know the system is weighted against victims. And we know that, like, you know, people do not generally falsely report. And... they lose a lot more than they gain. So I don't know. It seems pretty clear cut to me. And I think that it's been sad watching it play out, but it's also been really, I think, an important story to tell. It's a very, I wrote a newsletter post about this, but I think that it's like Housewives has sort of like, you know, goes back and forth in terms of like politics, but I feel like it sort of got it into like, Me Too stuff this year with the Kavanaugh, you know, fight on Beverly Hills. And then with this Michael storyline, it's like we're really seeing sort of this play out in a very real way of like how people deal with these accusations when they happen to someone they know. Because it's different to say like, yes, I believe victims. And yes, I like, you know, and I'm, you know, consent is everything. Is like Karen says, like, it's easy to say that. But when it actually is like affecting your social group, it's, you know, interesting to me to see how that plays out.
I feel like Karen has handled this incredibly well.
I disagree.
Why? She's the one that's constantly raising the importance of consent.
And then made a rape joke.
When did she make a rape joke?
When she said your husband should watch out when he bends down for the soap.
Oh, yeah. Well.
You can't. I'm sorry, but you can't. You absolutely cannot say consent is everything and then make a rape joke like a second later. It's just not going to fly. Overall, I think that, yes, she understands the importance of consent. But that's kind of what I mean, right? Because, like, she can say that, but she's so angry and, like, fired up about this because of her personal feelings about Michael and Ashley that she then casually makes a rape joke because she's just, like, pissed off.
Right. She,
and I'm not saying that,
like,
none of us have, like, I'm not saying that none of us have, you know, crossed a line because if we were, like, passionate. I'm just saying that's what happens when you're not dealing in, like, theoreticals. You're dealing with these people that you actually don't like. And so, you know, whatever.
The concern to me, if Ashley truly knows that this happened and or believes it and or had a conversation with Michael about it after the fact, why immediately start trying for a child or continue? I just don't understand.
I think she desperately wanted a kid. And I also think, I will say, what one of the things that, like, really, really rankled me about Candace this season, and, like, Candace, I think, is, like, off the deep end in so many ways.
God bless her. Thank God for Candace.
She's... like, I can't
she's
with her.
She's such a mess.
But when she, and because her mom is horrible, and I think that she's just taking that out on everyone else.
Yep.
The
when she implied that they weren't actually upset about their miscarriage because their marriage is a sham, I thought that was really cruel and not true at all. I think Ashley, I don't know about Michael because he's so weird about everything. Mm-hmm. I think Ashley very much wanted a baby. I think she actually was mourning that miscarriage. I think that like it's really crazy to be like, no, it's a sham marriage, so she can't possibly be upset about this. Like that seems, doesn't even follow logic to me. Like,
yeah, it can be both a sham marriage and she can both be right. obsessed with she having was, a kid.
Right. But that's why she kept trying. And also because she's like, I think that she's, if not desperate for normalcy, desperate for the appearance of normalcy. Like watching them the season of Ashley and Michael has been really kind of cringy to watch because they're trying so hard to appear like a normal couple. And every time, like, I generally like default to like Michael's just not straight. Like he's into guys too. But when Ashley tries to be sexy with him, I'm like, maybe he's just gay because
that scene was so awkward.
And I don't like saying that because I think that like it really annoyed me how long it took the women to acknowledge that bisexuality exists and that it's possible that Michael could be into Ashley and also men because they kept calling him gay. At the same time, like whenever Ashley tries to be sexual with him, it is so uncomfortable. It is so fake seeming.
I also,
like there was yeah. there was you know what I'm talking about,
the whipped cream, and she's like right, licking he, his right, disgusting that, yes. hairy and then Australian chest.
And then in the earth, in the last episode, when she was like, "Do you have time for a quickie?" and it was just like and similar to Bronwyn and her husband going
exactly
into that room,
I
and
thinking.
I was like, "Your men are gay." I'm just gonna
they're gay,
throw that out there.
But also, I don't want to see this weird housewife porno-y kind of vibe where like they're pretending or preparing to fuck each other and it's in a tub with bubbles or it's in
it's
their
very
weird
OC,
love shack.
Isn't it? It's like,
well, Tamara and Eddie
also Joe and Slade with the maid's outfit where
disgusting.
You're like we don't think that you like immediately start fucking when the cameras are there. Like we know this is not,
which makes it worse. Like at least somebody should have a happy ending because the viewers definitely
the thing
aren't.
Is like Tamara and Eddie like actually have one of the more stable relationships, I think, in any franchise, regardless of how I feel
I'm
about
winking.
Tamara. Well, no, I mean, oh, because you think Eddie's gay.
I don't know. I don't know what to think about that whole
paralegal
adoption.
Right. There's a lot.
Firm.
Right.
I can't know. Near it.
My point is that
confusing.
Like, I was very turned off by them early on because of the bathtub scene where I was like, why would you want them to film this? Like, why would you be like, guys, we're going to do a sexy bathtub scene. Like, what are you doing?
And I think Tamara thought, I'm coming off of this terrible divorce. I want to show that I'm winning. So here is my hot whatever. Let's pretend to fuck. It was too much for me. It was too much for me in the sense that this week with Bronwyn with that terrible outfit in their weird condo with Sean, who a lot of people are, you know.
People are saying he might be gay.
People are saying they think he's attractive. And I'm like, you guys, people, I don't know who need people are not the luckiest people in the world. Like, it's just like, it was not good
right.
for me. It was not.
Well, we'll get to OC.
Yeah, but back to Potomac.
Oh, well, okay. So I'm struggling with Ashley for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, tell me your thoughts.
Well, I just don't really, there's a lot about her that I just don't buy. And like, she constantly is like stirring up drama and then say, oh, this is classic Housewives when she stirs up drama and is like acting like she's not doing that when she's like, they kind of all, especially on Potomac, they sort of all do that where they all say,
yeah, I think she's like a skilled ninja at this. Like, thank God for her.
I just like I just find a lot of her storylines to be disingenuous.
But like in the best possible way.
Yeah. The stuff with her dad.
Oof.
I have a really complicated response to, and I'm going to get canceled for this.
Oh, great.
Series finale. I do think it was really sad. I believe that like she's estranged from her father. I believe all that happened. That is very sad. And I have compassion. I also think that it is ridiculous to bring a camera crew to your estranged father's house and expect to be embraced. I'm sorry, but there was a camera crew.
Yeah, they weren't film similar to Kenya with her mom.
Right.
They weren't like filming at the door, but she was in full makeup. I'm sure the lighting, he saw the camera guys in the
right.
fucking
so
driveway.
I have like a really hard time with this because I'm like, no one's acknowledging the fact that like if you genuinely her dad seems like a horrible person. I'm not saying he would have like embraced her, but I just like have a really hard time with them not acknowledging the fact that like there's a difference between reaching out to your estranged parent and then bringing an entire reality show crew there and filming it for a show and acting like you're just kind of trying to repair your relationship. Like, it's not the same thing.
as like whatever. The fact that she'd already reached out to him and he blocked her indicates he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to see you. He doesn't want to talk to you. He's an asshole.
He hasn't talked to his sister since 2010. Right. He hasn't talked to mom so, in 23 like, years or he's something awful. Crazy. Yeah.
So
more than that.
Yes, she had every right to confront him and see if he would talk to her. That's fine. But like, what did she think was going to happen with the camera crew?
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that she did this to distract from the Michael stuff, or do you think this had already been plotted out and the timing of it? She was like, let's just go into the next arc.
I really don't know. The Michael stuff happened so much earlier than we saw it on the show that it's possible she was trying to come up with another storyline. I hate to say that because I do think that she is genuinely like, she has genuine pain about her lack of a, you know, her father's absence in her life and 1,000% how he's treated her.
Totally.
So I don't want to make it seem like I don't believe that. I just feel like as a storyline, it was clearly orchestrated and that like her whole like, well, I'm going to have a kid. So I need to, or I'm trying to get pregnant. So I better like reunite with my father who's never like, it just, it all seemed very, you know, it was done for the cameras and
was also honestly genuinely depressing.
It was depressing, but I don't know. I just like really...
Can you imagine that's the first time she's like seen her father IRL in the sense that she can remember him like aside from being maybe no, like an infant baby.
It was awful.
And he essentially disowns her again, which he has already done sort of like spiritually just through his distance and disavowal of her and refusal to communicate to her. And then he opens a door and gives her a face and shuts it and locks it. I mean, that is just whether or not it was done for production purposes, which certainly it was.
I think it's sad. It is definitely sad. I just like, that's part of what I mean, that there's something that feels a little bit inorganic about it. And I think that one of the things that frustrates me occasionally about like reality TV broadly is that like this sort of refusal to break the fourth wall means that we're not acknowledging the fact that like this person who wants nothing to do with the rest of his, you know, with his estranged daughter, with his sister, with any of these people, is not going to be more likely to answer the door and talk to you when you have a fucking camera crew and you're filming it for television. Like, I just have a really hard time with that. And I'm not on his side remotely. I think he, again, is awful. I just think that like, there's a huge elephant in the room.
I totally agree with you. And it goes back to exactly your point, which is they weren't looking for him to engage with her. They knew that he wouldn't, more than likely the chances were. And they did it anyway, which I would think would further damage her. But maybe it didn't, because she seemed like, you know, when she got back to the hotel, she got maybe a little bit of closure. Maybe I'm being too optimistic about
it. I don't know. I just, the whole thing rang false to me. And I like, believing her pain, but also feeling like this was such a storyline and that like it was the only outcome that could have happened. It wasn't like Bravo reached out to him first and was like, can we film on your property? They ambushed him. And I don't have any moral qualms about ambushing a bad person like that, but it's not to me how you like repair anything.
I wonder, it did give me a little bit more of a window into why she feels so, not forced to, but like it's her absolute obligation to fully support her mother, because she really, that's her only parent who has accepted her, who has
you've given this more thought than I have, because I feel like the longer I watch this show and the season in particular, I just don't believe anything about Ashley. I've become Candace. Like, I believe like things like that she wants to have a kid, and I believe that her pain over her miscarriage was real. I'm not saying that. I just think that she has a Tamra-like ability to create story.
How dare you?
I'm sorry, but I don't buy a lot of it. Something about Ashley has started to feel so artificial to me that I can't really, you know, I don't know. I don't believe it.
I believe that she is enormously talented and has been so beneficial to the franchise by stirring up shit and stirring up plot. Yes. I don't think it's as manufactured as Tamra, who I genuinely think is like artificial in her soul.
Right.
Which isn't to say that I don't have moments where I like her. I actually like enjoyed her this week. I don't know why. And I am disgusted at myself for saying so. But
Tamra pretending to not support Trump is at least a point in her favor. I think she voted for him, but she acting like she doesn't support him makes me like her more, which because I'm easy as shit. And also like they're so conservative in general on that show that like any point against Trump from them feels like a win to me.
It is interesting, just to sidebar into this for one second, it is interesting that in one of her interviews this week, I want to say it was with People, but I forget. It was
it was the People one, where she said she doesn't support him.
Well, she threw Vicky under the
bus. Yes, and I tweeted about this. I was like, it's very Tamara to find a way to remind everyone that Vicky's a Trump supporter. Because
she said, like, Vicky called and was like, thanks, Ryan, for loving his country. Make America Orange County again.
Orange County, which, by the way, votes blue now. So fuck you all.
They have Katie Porter, who's an angel sent from heaven, don't they? That congresswoman who's like, I follow that her on Twitter.
Right. Sorry, conservative listeners, but also you're on the wrong side of history.
Okay. Back to Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question which comes to me via Satchel from Wendy in Baton Rouge?
Yes.
She says, I think people are forgetting that Monique had a lot to do with the demise of Giselle and Sherman's relationship, whether directly or indirectly. I think most of Giselle's reaction to Monique stems from this anger, and I totally understand it. She thought she found the man of her dreams, her forever, after looking for so long, and the drama of the show, largely orchestrated by Monique, ruined that. Agree, disagree?
Disagree. I'm just shaking my head the whole time.
Yeah.
I think Sherman sucks.
Sherman, yeah, it doesn't matter.
He was the worst. Well, but that's what I mean. Like, then why are we blaming Monique for Sherman, like, running away?
I don't think...
Because she brought his ex around and tried to get her on the show?
Yeah.
Okay, like, yes, they've all been shady to each other. I mean, all these, like, Potomac women are fascinating because I feel like they somehow get along better and worse in every other city.
Yes.
Like, they manage to get together and, like, have fun, like, consistently, and they make up constantly.
Yep.
But they also, like, they're always picking, like, they're always fighting with every other person in that group. They are always, like, stirring shit up. They're good at both, you know, but they manage to get along. And I just feel like, I don't think Monique is like, especially to blame for Giselle's relationship falling apart.
I don't know that Monique is to blame for it, but I think that may carry some water with why Giselle seems to be especially triggered by Monique. That whether or not Monique contributed to the downfall of that relationship, Giselle might harbor some ill will for her, whether or not it's unfounded.
I guess. I think that, like, because this is a show where they're constantly fighting and making up, like, I just don't think that that's worth harboring a grudge about. Like, if, you know, they all seem like they're able to forgive each other, and Monique is, like, tight with Ashley now, so, like, for Giselle to still be mad about the Sherman stuff feels silly to me.
And yet that entrance at poor unfortunate Robin's housewarming, where people are like, this is a dangerous neighborhood, someone offered me drugs also, while, like, I was parking.
Also, like, I'm sorry, but I'm supposed to, like, have sympathy for Robin, who didn't know the cardinal rule, which is that you never invite all the ladies to something that you're taking seriously.
Or if you are annoyed at them popping off, you say something. You don't wait until they're like, the pot is no longer boiling. Right. It's back to a simmer to be like, hey, guys, what's up? You actually stop it or participate it in some way. You don't walk away and pretend that the loud noises aren't happening. But that moment where Monique or Giselle arrives and Monique gives her a hug, or vice versa,
yeah,
and Giselle's like,
Monique
gives
her a hug, and Giselle's like, you're gonna hug me now after you've said that I don't.
That was,
by the
weird.
Way, but when they showed the flashback, that was Ashley's fault, because Ashley said that Monique was like, I don't really think that Katie and, or sorry, I don't think that Giselle and Robin like me very much. And then we saw the actual clip, and it was like Monique saying, no, I think they don't take me, I don't think they take my problems as seriously, or they don't, like, they're dismissive of my problems, which, like, is a normal complaint to make about friends. That is not, like, a crazy, like, they hate me thing that Ashley was making it out to be.
Monique was saying, I feel like they minimize my feelings, and then Giselle minimized her feelings.
Right.
When she tried to describe it. I mean, God.
I do think Giselle is, like, a top level housewife.
Yeah, she's one of the goats. She's one of the greats of all time.
She's the reason why Potomac works as well as it does, for a variety of reasons. And I think she also has what I love about so many of the, like, top housewives, in that she is, like, expert at stirring shit up, very much in the fray, very much willing to, like, get down and dirty, but also is, like, funny commentary, voice of reason, like, the smart one. Like, you know what I mean? She has, like, she goes back and forth.
She's genuinely funny, and it's not just mean. And some of these housewives fall into the trap where they think being mean is funny, and it's like, no, that's not it. Like, Bethany has had some rough moments when she thinks she's being funny and it just becomes catty.
Right.
Giselle understands how the best kind of funny can play out, and she utilizes it. She's incredibly smart.
She also has she doesn't have the best memory for the things she said, which, God bless.
And her reaction to it is like, I didn't say that. Oh, you, I did say that. Oh, what did she say? She was like, I'll write her a note or something. Like, it was just, the response was so, so good and so tightly crafted. I
oh, that was, that was when she was talking about how her therapist would be mad at her.
Dr. Ken.
And he was like, she was like, I'll write him a note.
God bless her.
I love
her.
Giselle.
Do you think Potomac has the most likable cast of any franchise?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think any of the casts are overwhelmingly likable. I think there's always like a few that I really like.
You mean a few individuals, but not the collective?
Potomac, like, I love Giselle. I do like Monique this season.
I love Monique this season. My God.
I like Robin. I don't think she's great on the show. I just like, I usually like Robin. But who do you like? Who else do you like on Potomac?
I mean, I was just thinking about it in the sense that I was rewatching this week's episode this morning, and I just found myself thinking, like, as a collective, I think this franchise is the most overall likable. You know, my favorite, like, the Valentine of the franchises to me is New York. But right. I think that from the perspective of looking at this show, I mean, obviously, I don't want to be like besties with Candace.
I think
that they're, like, overall really likable. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess that's like with like Ashley and Karen and Candace. I just don't feel like I can't. I think New York is probably the most likable to me because...
I'm shaking my head no.
No, I know. Well, for the listeners, yeah. The person in New York that I, like, can't fuck with is Ramona.
Right. That's why I'm shaking my head no. I feel like the...
But there's always one... Like, Ramona is, like, a bad person. Dorinda's a good person with a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's a good way of
But I love the New York reunion because it was, like, they all made up at the end, which I love when that happens. Yeah. And, like, Luann, like... came as far as she will come toward being like, I was an asshole.
Yeah, she's walking back in every interview.
What, she's saying she's not, was not...
In, on, like, Jenny McCarthy, I think yesterday, she's like, it wasn't me. Cabaret.
Whatever.
Come to my show.
Anyway.
I'm a star.
The point is, Luann is, like, awful a lot of the time, but she's, like, doing her best. Like, she's trying to not
she's
be
trying
awful.
To survive.
I don't know. I think New York she's is... I think New York is likable. I think Potomac is likable. I just think that I wouldn't say it's, like... the most likable franchise.
I just think if we look at each cast member as forming a spectrum, I look at Potomac and I don't think anyone goes as far left as, like, for example, Ramona. You know, like, they don't have anyone
no
that
one's
I
as
truly...
heinous as Ramona, you're saying.
Right. Like, I think she kills it for New York because she's so awful. And I just find myself sympathizing with all of the women on
That's
Potomac.
True. I mean, I think that Karen is the closest in terms of, like, she displays Ramona-ish behavior to me, but she's not as mean.
Yeah,
and not
I still
as, like,
love her.
Not as soul. She's not soulless.
Yeah, she's not.
Like Ramona, or like, you know, there are other soulless houses. I won't name them all, but we know who
they
are.
We don't have time.
We know who they are. So, most of OC. I really like Potomac. It's having a really good season.
Such a good season.
Very anxious about next week's episode.
Because of Katie?
Because of Katie. We've talked about this, I think, before. Mm-hmm. I don't think Katie should be on TV. I think she's really troubled. And I think that I worry about her. And I also just, like, I'm not comfortable having her on TV. I think it's irresponsible of Bravo to give her a platform.
And I know that you are correct. And I also think Katie... online, aside from the obviously horrors that we've seen several months ago, which we're not going to reference except here I go, she has been calling out hashtag Chester the molester so much that I appreciate it. She's been calling out, like,
Michael.
Yeah. And she got disinvited from the reunion as a result, and I'm nervous for how she's gonna have her Kelly Kloren Ben Simone moment.
But I'm just kind of like
vacay,
I'm kind of like, well, what did she really get disinvited because of what she said about Michael? Like, is that, like, there has to be, is there not more to that story? I know that she's saying that Bravo, like, fucked her over, but I don't know the whole story.
Well, she's directly calling out production and said that a lot of this was manufactured because of the whole thing with Monique's cousin and the, like, the last snippet of audio. And
oh, she says that didn't happen or that?
She says that it was manufactured and because you can hear Monique's cousin's voice saying, like, hey, Mike, or whatever, she thinks that meant it's all manufactured, except she does believe that Michael Darby is a predator.
I don't understand how she can have it both ways.
Because the way, I mean, I don't know how it she's calling out the reality show and saying it's not totally real, and but she's not disavowing his poor behavior.
I don't know.
And production was like, ring, ring, bye bye.
Yeah, I mean,
go back to the farm.
I just don't. I worry about Katie.
I worry about Katie. I'm concerned for what's going to happen on this vacay to the Cayman Islands.
Listen, there's a lot of there are plenty of women on these shows that I say it's irresponsible to have them on television, like Danielle. But Danielle is why New Jersey came back and was great again. So
yeah,
and I'm Danielle clearly conflicted about these things. I think that Danielle is dangerous and should not be on television. But also, like, thank God, you know. So like,
and she gets full on fire during this upcoming season. Like,
does she?
Yeah, they exile her. Like, even Tree is like, I won't do this because there's altercation with Margaret.
Oh, is that what happens?
Mm-hmm.
I know that Tree and Danielle are on the outs again, but I didn't know that she was like fired.
Yeah, that no one will film with her. Wow. But again, it's like, how do you fire a friend of? It's not really firing. It's just like, well, your time is
right.
Yeah, your time is done. Like, you're not.
But Danielle was a friend of who was very much part of every season. Like, she was fully right on the show. They just wouldn't give her full-time status.
Yeah. Anyway.
Nightmare.
So.
Can't wait. I can't wait for Jersey to come back, honestly, because I need Margaret in my life.
Oh, my God. When I interviewed her at this like game night at a hotel at the Moxie Times Square a couple months ago, and she is a fucking delight.
Ugh, I love her.
Yeah, I can't wait to do a long form with her and sit down and like shoot the shit, because she similar sort of to Dorinda ish and kind of what we thought was going to happen with Erica Jane that didn't. She's just such like a true like next generation, but feels like an OG.
Right.
Like, she's so good. I don't want to compare her to Giselle because I feel like it's almost unfair to Giselle in the sense, or maybe it's not. I just think Giselle is like A plus 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 plus. And I think Margaret is very close to that.
Margaret is, yeah, top. Margaret's Your Husband's in the Pool just made her to me, or the fight that they had when she made, what's her name? Jennifer. Was it Jennifer where she like made her like lunge at the table? Jen, was that, is it the housewife I forget about? The one who,
Jen,
like,
Eden?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When Margaret, like, accused her husband.
Yeah, yeah, at the table. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That whole fight was just unreal.
Your Husband's in the Pool is one of, like, I can't even say it without laughing. It is one of the best moments of all time of anything. It is so quick. It is so funny. It is so, like, matter of fact. She said, when I was speaking to her, she was like, we didn't even know it was being recorded. Now, whether or not we believe that, I actually kind of believe it.
I believe it.
She says it in such a way where it's, like, boom, under her breath.
The Jersey Housewives, when they fight, it feels like they would be having those fights without the cameras, where as opposed to some other cities where I'm like,
I don't know that I believe when Melissa Gorga goes from
no, not all of them, or yeah, not when like Jacqueline came back and was like fighting with Teresa for the cameras.
Talk
like,
about a mental breakdown.
That is different. But overall, like, we know, because we know when Teresa flipped that table, it was not for the cameras. She was just angry. I believe that a lot of the anger on that show and that fighting is like a lot more organic to me and alcohol based.
Speaking of organic,
yeah,
I want to talk about
Bronwyn.
No, one of the greatest of all time, at least specific to this season, when it comes to organic reactivity, shall we say?
Okay,
Her Holiness of the Holiest of Holy, Madame Kelly Dodd.
Oh,
sweet
uh-huh.
Christ! The pig emoji.
Are we transitioning to OC?
We are fully transitioning.
Great. I can't wait.
I have watched it a couple times, and I've watched it. We were just talking about this before we started recording, because T. Kyle has done stuff, and Frank works at Watch What Happens Live,
I think he works at Watch What Happens Live
somewhere.
Definitely works at Bravo
within the mothership. It's like, I listened to that audio. First off, the pig emoji in and of itself is my God, but the part where she starts laughing, where she's like, ha 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 ha, ho, ho, ho.
It's really good.
Santa from the underworld.
I loved also that, like, we already knew that Vicky got a nose job because Slade called her a pig on stage, but like, that for a long time was kind of an unspoken thing. Do you mm-hmm. remember, like, that was like, I remember when, like, because I watched OC late and like watched all of it together, and like mm-hmm. I was so horrified by Slade's like quote unquote comedy set, and I was like, this is like horrible. And then Kate was like, yeah, and there was like, you know, people think that that's why Vicky got all her work done, because like mm-hmm. Slade called her Miss Piggy.
Mm-hmm.
So to have Tamara just like spell it out like that was like very gratifying, and also like, what a flashback.
And also, her nose doesn't look different. I don't think she looked. You think?
Oh, it's so different.
It doesn't, like, the actual nostril part doesn't look different. There's only so much you can
do. It looks different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really does. Vicky looks very... Vicky's work now is great. Vicky looks amazing. Vicky did not look good right after she had her work
done.
Yeah,
the clam bake was not a great moment. It was great for us.
Vicky looks great now.
She does.
Shout out to her plastic surgeon. She looks amazing, and as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think it's Kelly Dodd's ex-boyfriend as of yesterday. But yikes. Yeah, I think it's somebody else.
That guy...
Dr. Brian Regan.
Gives me such Brooks vibes, I can't even tell you. It is the creepiest thing. He is so, like... It's so creepy. I find him to be so unsettling.
Real? You think it's as bad as Brooks? In that it's like he's like totally manipulating this person?
I don't think it's the same in that Brooks like watched the show and studied Vicky, which like who hasn't? Like we're all kind of studying Vicky.
You also like martinis with blue cheese olives? Oh my god, it's love.
It's so weird. I'm always thinking about like filling love tanks. Like I don't know if that appeals to you at all, that metaphor, but like have you ever heard of a love tank? Anyway, no, it's not like that, but I think that he is so like he's like an uncanny valley human, like he's just like so vacant and like I find him, I mean, he makes my skin crawl, honestly. I do not like him, and I think he just wanted to be on TV to promote his like business.
I have never been so horrified and felt so disrespected in my life than when he gave her those diamond drip earrings, which what the fuck? And it was like a straight, and I looked them up. They're like $3,800, which is a lie. That is horrible. Like apologies to the Diamond District, because what the fuck was that? And he's like, oh, a new designer. So a designer like DM'd him on Insta and was like, I'll send you whatever you want, just right. Give me a shout out, I'll give you these, like, I'm sure they cost $2,250 for some poor child in Taiwan to build out of whatever. Disgusting.
He's awful.
And then
she has bad taste in men though, because now she's dating some Fox News guy.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Kelly, I mean, she said on like social yesterday, she was like, thank God I made a great choice in marrying Michael because he's a great dad. And sure, Michael might be a great dad. He seems like he has been a terrible ex-husband when he essentially bullied her into like not being able to divorce him the first time. But I'm right. Glad that they're at least getting along now. It seems like they had a very unhealthy relationship for a very long time.
Right.
Yeah, she has terrible taste. I mean, shout out to Kelly, who is doing the work of the gods just on social media. Like I took screenshots of what she responds to essentially almost anyone that posts. And so after she said that she's like, we broke up, I'm deeply sad and I only wish him the best, good luck, you're a talented surgeon, I love you deeply.
See
whomever, maybe it's this guy that they broke up with, we broke up. And here are some of the things that a listener said. I thought giving you a gift over his desk was very cold and odd, makes sense now. She says he never gave me a gift after that. He's thirsty AF. He's hashtagging Real Housewives on the breakup post that he made. Seriously, hashtag K-bye. She says, goes to show you. Someone said you used him for his money. She said he has none. Are you joking? Someone comments on this guy, Rick from Fox, that she's fucking. She says, yes, and sexy AF. Someone said used him for free for services and then dumped him. She said, I get my shit for free. Trust me, he didn't do shit for me. She tags her plastic surgeon of choice. Someone says, I think he was just trying to promote himself, wasn't a fan. She said, I agree, I now feel used. Other people tell her he had a creepy opportunist rapey vibe to him, and she said, everyone says that, which
he had he had a creepy vibe. He has a very creepy vibe. I do not like him. It makes me uncomfortable. I think it's also like, as we said before, like the idea that you would date someone for 3 months, then like be like, I love my boyfriend all over the show, feels so short-sighted to me and very Kelly.
Yeah. And then they broke up, then they got back together, and then she announced her breakup again on like Insta stories from Greece or something.
Okay,
like,
okay, God bless.
So speaking of creepy, what did you think of poor, sweet, lovable, incredibly intelligent minor child Jolie getting DMs from Team Vicky saying her mom is... mom is everything.
That makes me sad.
It made me sad how mature. I mean, I was like, good for you, Jolie, and being so responsible and mature and understanding that as a 12-year-old, I should not be receiving that. Like, right. When Kelly's like, well, social media is just awful.
Kelly was like, you shouldn't be private, which I was like, she's a child. Like, what are you saying?
Yeah, there seems to be a shift with both the Housewives and production as a whole of featuring the children more as cast members, giving them confessionals.
Right, I mean, they're giving Shannon's kids confessionals. It's. I mean,
I don't love it.
The thing is, like, they're hearkening back to early OC. The original OC was a family show, very much so. And, like,
Brianna and Michael. Yeah.
The Keo kids were very cast members. It's weird that they're doing that again. And it makes sense with Shannon's kids because they're older now and, like, they can do it. But also, like, it happened, seems like it was a very abrupt shift where suddenly we're getting, like, and these confessionals.
They're not that old. What's-her-face? Sophie is 17 and the twins are, I think, like, 14 or 15. I'm uncomfortable in the sense that I don't want them to be opened up to this kind of abuse. And it's obviously so undeserved. And I really have to wonder what kind of fan thinks showing their devotion to a certain housewife requires being incredibly abusive online to minor kids who don't get it.
They don't get that they're real people. They never. There's like a ton of reality show viewers who just like do not. They think they know everything based on what they see on TV, and they don't understand that these are real people, and they don't understand the boundaries of like not, you know, it's horrible.
And I think they get off from it, which is why it's terrifying to me.
I don't like it. I don't like that people would be going after a 12-year-old girl. Obviously, it just takes a really unwell person to like think that that's a normal thing to do.
Well, if we're going to talk about all things minor kids, I have a couple satchels that are related to that. Satchel from Jackson, Chicago. Sorry, this is just me ranting because I have no one else to talk to. Jax, I love hearing from you. Never apologize and always get in touch with me. And I love long form DMs for real. You are part of the AG family. But just started watching RHOC and quote unquote, wouldn't want to get bloated before photos. Shannon's daughter. Shannon has done irreparable damage to these girls. This makes me think about my own mother. And if I have a daughter, I've asked her so many times not to speak disparaging about her body in front of me because it upsets me so much. And I take it to be about me. And if I have a daughter, I would be much more strict. Quoth Bethany, this is a crisis. And I'm with you. I love Shannon, but I wish she wouldn't talk about her body or weight in front of her daughters.
I think that's complicated. I think that it's easy to say that you wouldn't make those comments in front of your kids, but no one's perfect. And I don't think that Shannon is giving her kids a complex any more than like everyone is giving kids a complex because we live in a society that tells people that being anything but thin is wrong. So I have a hard time like...
I think Shannon is especially obsessed with it in a way that is different from anybody else on that franchise. Absolutely. Her entire
I'm not forgiving of Shannon. I think that Shannon has made so many mistakes. I just think that like it's weird to I think that like the way the show treated her and the way that like people around her treated her when she gained weight was as damaging as Shannon herself being obsessed with losing weight. I mean, that was in part because she was constantly being told that she was fat and ugly.
I think it was also because she was so forced on trying to figure out a way to care and show love to herself, which was substituted with eating things that, you know, weren't maybe great for her because she was going through an incredibly difficult marriage and trying to deal with the fact that in a couple months there would be episodes showing allegations of abuse that Vicky was like whispering to Kelly about David and Shannon. And that was her reaction to it. And I do think that this is how she looks and which is related to how she feels is incredibly important to Shannon. And you know, she had those sad scenes back in the day of like, we have quinoa bowls, I'm very depressed, I feel a terrible on my body, and that has been a huge arc. And I did cringe a little bit when Sophie said that, and I cringed in previous episodes where she was talking about her sister's body.
Yes, I think that Shannon absolutely bears some responsibility for that. Totally. I just think that like
never doing
Much bigger problem in like societally than Shannon saying that. And I think also like, or that Shannon kind of talking about her own body. And then also it's very easy to say that you wouldn't talk about that in front of your kids, but like she's on a TV show that they watch. She's struggling with her body image in a way that like I think would be kind of impossible to keep from them entirely. But you know, I think like Rinna talks about this too. Like, you know, I don't think Rinna made her daughter anorexic, but she
being in Hollywood, being an actress, being, you know, also really conscious of her body and her weight, like, had an impact on her daughter. And it's not, like, as simple as saying, like,
I won't do it.
Right. And it's not simple as blaming her for that when it's, like, it's part of a larger issue with society and with the entertainment industry.
Here is the only pushback I would say to you. It's not about saying I would never do it. It's about being conscious of the damage that it can do to your kids.
Right.
That's something that Shannon wasn't aware of. And that's something that Rinna wasn't aware of until she and her family have gone through this terrible experience with her child, you know, struggling with and being like a survivor of anorexia.
Right.
And Shannon is not conscious of the damage it's doing to her kids. That's the change I would do, is not to say,
but also,
I
like,
will never do it, but being conscious of the damage.
But also, like, leave Orange County. Like, this is, you're just in a toxic place.
Well,
like,
yeah, and I think that this is the issues that, the issues that Shannon has is triggered by toxicity. That's not just being in the show. It's not just being in Orange County, although I'm sure that's a huge part of it. It's also, like, you know, her marriage was toxic.
Right.
A lot of her, you know, I'm sure areas in her life that we didn't even see were toxic. You could maybe even tie that up to her obsession with being green and everything being healthy and light. Maybe because that's something she can control versus, you know, this human person that she was married to who didn't maybe like her a whole lot. It's layered, which I think, you know, we're on the same page. It's just a matter of shifting the absolute, because nothing in life is absolute.
Yeah.
I mean, except for my hatred of Danielle Staub. So, oy vey, I have a... Okay, let's do Bronwyn after this.
Great.
Because this is a lot.
I'm scared.
I'm just going to say it. We're not going to talk about it for a lot. Satchel from Jane in Baltimore. I am way behind, but finally listening to AG episode 118. So you're not that far behind because that was last week. My take on Ryan and Tamra is super dark. I feel like Ryan has always had power and control over Tamra in the way a controlling or manipulative spouse does. Despite him consistently doing crappy things, he can always manipulate or gaslight her into supporting him. When they were in the foyer, I do foyer and foyer, by the way. When they were in the foyer or foyer, and we see Tamra.
I think it's foyer.
It is?
I think so.
Fine.
Foyer, yeah.
Potato, orange. And we see Tamra visibly bite her tongue. I interpreted it as her learned behavior from her experience being the abused spouse. A man, Ryan, was threatening her and using his physical and emotional power over her to force her to accept his will. I recognize this may seem over the top, but I think it's a learned behavior and learned dynamic in their relationship where she has never, ever been in the parent role.
Did you see the screenshots of text between Ryan and
His
baby mama?
His baby mama, who, by the way, owns, I think, 4 guns and lost at least one of her parents to gun suicide, to suicide by gun.
I think,
where he says, go kill yourself or, like, I'll do it for you.
A bullet.
Yeah, it's cool. And he calls their daughter a bitch.
I think cool Ryan guy. Is off the deep end and abusive and horrible. Yes. Are you saying, do I agree with that reading of Tamara's relationship with him? I think it's more complicated than that, but I do think that, I don't know if Tamara, like, feels scared of him. I think, I just think that, like, they've always had a weird dynamic. She had him when she was young, and they've always behaved a little bit, like, she has never seemed like an authority figure with him at all.
Yeah.
Even, like, really early on.
No, it felt like Simon was the authority figure.
And when he, like, got the lip tattoo and yep. She was like, I don't know. She just never really seemed like a mom to him.
And when he got steroids and had to deal with, like, the surgery that he had or whatever the hell it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But he is really creeping me out this season. Like, he's making me so uncomfortable. And I think that, like, giving him confessionals, I was like, why are we doing this?
And allegedly this whole mishigas with Ryan and Spencer continues through the season until they have a dinner.
Interview.
Right. Until they have, like, a sit down. I mean, it's reminiscent to me of Shane and Gina Keough
mm-hmm.
when Shane was a piece of shit and was super verbally abusive to her. Yeah. And she like went to Chicago to watch him play like softball or JV soccer, yeah, or whatever the fuck it was. And he was like, I want you to die. And she was like, cool, cool, cool. Like, pass the ketchup. Like, it's awkward to me because it feels like these women have such enormous guilt about toxic relationships that their kids have grown up in that they selectively ignore the behavior of their now adult children. And right, they put it the blame on themselves, or they deny its existence, or they play it off, or they manipulate it and use it for camera. I don't think Gina did that with Shane. I don't think it was too early in the franchise for her to even think of doing that, but it definitely feels like Tamra is using this and using her kids.
But also Tamra, of course, is going to be more afraid of estranging a child when she has one who won't talk to her. Like, yeah, I think that she genuinely fears, you know, Ryan abandoning her. And I think that's because she lost her daughter.
And yet, one down, three to go, because she lost her daughter because of parental alienation, whatever, but also because she continued to talk about her kids on the show. So what does she think is going to happen?
I'm not... The Tamra situation with Sydney is, like, very complicated. And I think, like, I think that, like, Simon's also a horrible person, so I don't really know the full scope of it.
No, totally.
We've seen proof that, like, Tamra, you know, agreed to, like, keep Sydney off the show or off social media and then did it. Like,
right,
I don't think that she's blameless. I'm saying that, like, aside from that, I think on some level, she clearly wants Ryan around both for herself and for the show.
Yeah.
And is not going to, like, speak up against him even when he's threatening to, like, threatening his brother with violence because of their... Because his brother rightfully called him a racist.
Who does Ryan have in his life? And I think I know the answer to this, but let's pretend. To sit him down and say, you're in trouble. You need to get help.
I mean, this is a really complicated conversation because I think that he I don't know what to do with people who've been red-pilled, who have been online and are seeing, like, you know, horrible things and believing everything they see and thinking that there's, you know, I mean, this is such a dark conversation. I don't really know. It makes me so uncomfortable because I don't know the answer to, like, to that. And Tamra doesn't take it seriously enough to be like, but you also, like, can't talk someone out of these things easily.
It feels like he's celebrating violence. And that is, as we know, kids, never the answer. Or if it is an answer, it's definitely the wrong one to make or to get. And I was very annoyed watching Tamra on Watch What Happens. Was it the night that the texts went public and went viral on Twitter, or like the day after? Certainly there were several hours between everyone seeing the text between Ryan and...
Did they bring the text up on Watch What Happens Live?
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, I didn't see this.
So Andy goes, I know we were talking about this a little bit before the show. And I'm... Guys, I'm going to... I'm paraphrasing and I might be doing this in a terrible way, but whatever, let's take that ride. He says, like, I know that we talked about this a little bit before the show. There are these texts that have come up between Ryan and Sarah, and, you know, there are bad things said about the kid, and, you know, what's your reaction? And Tamra looks at him as, I think, completely playing dumb and like, oh, what texts? What are they referencing? Their kid or one of her kids? Like, that makes a fucking difference, by the way. If their estranged stepfather is calling any of those children a bitch, problem number one. It doesn't matter if it's biological. And then Andy goes, oh, I actually don't really know. I didn't read the texts. And then it just dies. And I was like, holy shit. What were you guys talking about before the show? I actually believe that someone told Andy, oh, there's some shit going down, summarized it, and then she brought it up, or he brought it up, and it was like very chill before the show and not a big deal. I 1,000% believe that. But I do think if you know that something is like a hot topic amongst OC viewers and you don't have the callback, and we all have that, by the way. I have that all the time on this where I'm like, I wanted to say something, but I forget what, or I forget right, what the specifics were. I felt like this was so important that on one of those cards, it should have had like some sort of something,
he
or somebody
earpiece.
In his, I know, or somebody in his ear. It felt like such a missed opportunity. And she's going to have so much time between now and the filming of the reunion in which to prepare.
If they even get to that.
If they even get to that, in which to prepare herself for some sort of PR answer. And this was the best moment on live TV. And she kind of got away with it in a way that I was like, this is some crazy ass shit. And she was like, well, Sarah always posts stuff and then deletes it. And it's like, regardless of the intention of this woman, and it seems like these are both not great people.
They have a toxic relationship. Like,
but you shouldn't be threatening to murder your estranged, but I don't think they were ever legally married, not that it matters, your estranged partner, whatever, the mother of your child, and then calling that child a bitch. It was so, and she owns guns, and like, again, one of her parents died by suicide by gun, like, and you're sending her the emoji or whatever it was of a bullet. Like,
it was a photo of a bullet.
Like, that is a genuine death threat. Is it not?
Yeah. I mean, it's really dark. I like, it's just like a, the whole thing gives me an empty feeling. I don't like watching it. I don't like thinking about, you know, watching this most recent episode after seeing those texts. I just like, didn't want to see Ryan on screen. I don't like, it makes me feel concerned and uncomfortable.
I also feel like the Kavanaugh conversation, if we're going to talk about bringing up politics on the franchise, is very different from what's happening on OC, because Ryan is communicating his political affiliations and preferences and whatever through threats of violence, and that is beyond not okay to me. We're seeing that happen IRL, and we're seeing that happen on the show, and that is it's not a real Trump conversation, because the conversation really is between brothers saying, like, I felt physically threatened, I am half your age, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. I think it passes who did you vote for and go straight into, like, you're a deep, dark, broken man, and pretending that this is somehow entertaining or funny or flippant is not okay to me.
Yeah, I just think that Tamara,
and she's, you're
asking Tamara to be, you're asking Tamara to be the adult in the room, which is like never right. gonna happen. No.
I find it so sad. I just really, it makes me,
this is why Mike Wolf Smith smartly is not on the show right now.
Oh my god, the smart, and by the way, the smartest kids, how, probably through Dawn, like Brianna, an angel sent from heaven, the only adult child I ever want to see. No, don't do it. I don't want to talk about
it. I do love Brianna, but
this is a Ryan free zone.
Well, then I'll leave it be. If you leave her toxic husband out of it, then
I just want Brianna to be happy, and she's doing her whole thing on keto or whatever they call it. Keto, potato, again, orange. Okay, I have a satchel from friend of the show, James, in Los Angeles. Emily's I can't even say it without laughing. Emily's husband is worse than Brooks. Discuss.
He is horrible. He is awful.
Maybe it's the Jew in me, but I saw that extra play setting that they had at that weird dinner that her mom showed up with the fur, and I was like, oh my god, it's Elijah. Like, they're setting a Passover little glass of wine for
that was a nightmare. And also, like, it's just also sad, like, he can't pass the bar and has to like move into the library. Not that the bar is easy to pass, like, no,
I don't care.
There's so much, like,
I'm too busy raising it.
It's just, it's, God, the whole thing is, like, it's bleak. OC can be so bleak.
Gina's hair alone.
Gina's
paging look, Dr. Phil's, I'm actually,
like, Gina, God, I just, the more we talk about, the more I'm, like, OC is actually really upsetting me. There's so much about it that is just, like, not fun, you know? Like, that's just, like, dark. I mean, watching Gina, whatever she's going through, is just like, it's deeply unpleasant.
Deeply unpleasant.
And does she bring up the abuse next week? Is that what's happening?
I don't know.
There's a conversation with her and Emily on the couch.
Yeah.
And it feels like Emily's bringing it up, and Gina's like, I can't talk about this, and then walks away.
Yeah, I think it was more about like the overall divorce, because the abuse that happened sort of IRL was just like in the last,
you don't fairly think that recently. Happened before?
It very well may have, but I don't think she's bringing it up on camera, especially when they got back together before this whole domestic violence thing happened. I don't think that Shane is worse than Brooks, though I think it's a funny comparison. I don't think Brooks is probably the worst, quote-unquote, spouse to ever appear.
He's a con artist, like, grifter, nightmare. I think he's just like a shitty person who takes her for granted and doesn't want to be around his family.
And she just seems to continue to put up with it. Because I don't
she's
know
She's got,
why.
Like, severe Gina Keo vibes.
Oh, and that she's, like, super depressed, and part of that depression is because of this guy that sleeps on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah. And that she has this complex, because she talks a lot about her weight and her, like, not fitting in with the other housewife. Like, she has this sort of thing where I feel like she's not treated the same way, because she's not, like, a skinny blonde like the rest of them.
And she's naturally curvy, by the way.
I'm not... Right, I'm not...
No, crazy. I know you're not, but I'm just saying...
I'm saying that I think that she... has this like thing that Gina also had where she's treated a little bit like an outcast as like a curvy brunette.
Yeah.
With a shitty husband who treats her like garbage and overcompensates and tries to be like, everything's fine. I'm doing it. And like, I wish they would, you know, I wish he would treat me better. I wish he would appreciate me more. But like, what can you do? And like, it's depressing to watch.
And that flashback of her talking about, what was it, like the miscarriages or whatever? And she was like, or yeah, miscarriages after like doing like the hormone stuff. And I know bodies. And
IVF?
I forget. Something with hormones and shots or whatever. And maybe a miscarriage or whatever. And it's a flashback to her and Shane talking about it. And she's like, you know, you just don't understand how hard it is. And he's like, no, you don't get how hard it was for me. And she's like, yeah. Which I'm sure he also went through it as well. But I mean, it was like quite literally her body. It's just so sad to me.
Yeah.
He is.
Is there anything? Is there any like ray of sunshine in OC, on OC right now? Because I'm feeling like.
Kelly Dodd.
But Kelly has a darkness to her too.
I know, but at least it's funny at times.
Kelly is like integral to the franchise and the only reason why the show is still on, basically. But I mean, my God, this is like a dark, like, you talked about Potomac being like the most likable women. Yeah. Like, OC is like the fucking most depressing, like upsetting women and scenarios.
I did like Kelly and Shannon's turtle time. I like when they went out together and Bronwyn was like, you're like, skinny. And Shannon was like, I think I love you.
I think I'm just bummed out now.
So what were your thoughts on Bronwyn?
Oh, I don't like Bronwyn.
You don't?
No.
Why?
I
feel like she's a full human person.
She doesn't vaccinate her children.
Okay.
That's not okay. They're disease vectors.
Okay, but based on what you're seeing on camera.
Okay, based on what's on camera, she's fine. I just find it all very like...
Like, I fucking hate her.
No, I didn't say that. I don't like her.
Okay.
I don't hate her. I don't have like a strong opinion. I just don't. It's OC has struggled to bring new women onto the show many times.
Totally.
And she feels to me like, I'm like, what? Just like, oh, she's quirky. She has so many kids. Like, okay. I'm not interested yet. I'm not going to like say that I will never like her or that she'll never be, you know, a worthwhile addition to the cast. I'm suspect because of the history of adding new people to that show.
Yeah.
And because so far all I've gotten is like how crazy their home life is with all these kids.
Right. I think she has.
And her marriage seems weird.
Her marriage definitely seems weird. And I think she has definitely much more potential than, for example, like Lydia McLaughlin, who had the weird mom.
Well,
I was
a big fan of Lydia on her first season.
Yeah, her first
she seemed like she was this meek little like fairy child, and then like Christian whatever, and then like
she called
consistently called out Slade and was like, you're the worst. And so I really loved that, and then she came back and was a nightmare. Obviously there have been great additions to the show, Shannon, Kelly, like, yes, but Bronwyn just feels like she's got a crazy name, she's got a big family. I don't know, I'm just like, it feels a little bit try hard to me. And I'm not seeing enough of a personality to justify it yet.
I feel like she was a good casting choice, and I'm curious to see what happens. I'm nervous if she aligns herself super, super tightly with Tres Amigas. I'm very nervous that in all of their press interviews, they're like, Bronwyn's the best. And I don't know if that's real. I'm sure it is, but also like a threat to her. Like, remember who loves you.
I'm very fascinated by Tamara and Vicky because like, I was like watching and I was like, I couldn't remember. I was like, Tamara and Vicky are on the outs now? Like, didn't they like end things on the good terms? But I genuinely couldn't remember where they left things because they're so volatile.
I think they had that. Wasn't it with the weird teary hug that was like super awkward?
Vicky thinks they're friends. I mean, they were.
I think they became closer.
Tamara and Vicky, wait, what do you mean?
I think that they started off friendly and became tighter through filming, likely
you mean like from the beginning?
No. From this season, when everything goes down with whatever happens with Kelly versus Tamara and Kelly versus Shannon. I think that made them closer to Vicky.
Oh, sure. But I just mean that like on the show in this episode when Tamara's like, oh God, Vicky's coming. Like, should I invite her? And then Vicky coming and like whatever. I was like, aren't you guys friends? Like, I don't really understand like what the issue there is. And Tamara was like,
that's a good point.
We have a complicated history. And it's like, yeah, we know. We watched the show. You were estranged for a couple seasons. And then you made up again. Like, do you remember where you stand? Like, it felt, I mean, and I honestly might be forgetting something. I don't remember if like what conflict they had last season, but I didn't remember them having a problem.
Yeah, I think.
And Tamara's so two-faced, it doesn't really matter anyway, because she'll always, like.
I think it's just a genuine, probably, maybe a discomfort with whatever was to come with Kelly and Vicky, even though you know Tamara loves it. I don't know why she said that, except that she truly doesn't die for Vicky, and then they just become close because of whatever
I kind of appreciated Kelly being like, I don't want to talk to you, like, just walking away, because, like. She doesn't want to talk to her.
Right.
And I understood Vicky's point of, like, you said we were fine and then you got mad again.
Yeah.
But it's like, that always happens. Like, it's normal on a reality show that you guys, whatever, you film whatever, you make up, and then, like, the show starts airing, they see the shit you said in confessionals, they see, like, more stuff they didn't realize. Like, yeah, it's going to stir things up again. Like,
I think...
Kelly's a very...
Right.
Kelly is a person who is quick to anger, yes. Quick to whatever, like...
Extremely reactive.
Yes. And, like, you know this. And... Also, you said she did coke, and by the way, are now doubling down on that and saying that you know people who've done coke with her.
She quite literally said, did, yada yada. Like, let's call the whole thing off. She was both then saying, did coke, does coke. I know people that did it with her. What the fuck are you talking about?
I really, like, don't know what to believe / like, honestly don't care that much, but... I think that, like, I don't doubt that someone told Vicky that Kelly did coke with them. Just as I don't doubt that someone told her that Eddie's gay. Like, Vicky surrounds herself with these people who, like, will say shit. And, like,
right.
There's all these rumors in the show that pop up where you're like, yeah, maybe it's true. Or maybe it's, like, very clearly designed to, like, create drama and sound more interesting. Like, on New Jersey, having, like, you know, Kim D's friend be like, oh, yeah, Melissa danced for me. And it was like, I was thinking about this earlier today for whatever mm-hmm. reason. It just always feels like you can always find someone to say these things. Doesn't mean it's actually true.
I 1,000% agree with
and,
you.
And I just feel like...
But she has doubled down on enjoying
the
weaponry that's supplied
Vicky does
to her.
Vicky does this all the time. Vicky spreads rumors constantly about Eddie being gay, about... That was her last conflict with Tamara, was about... I mean, that was really what it was about, was, like, her saying that Eddie was gay and that mm-hmm. she knew, like, someone who had hooked up with him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or to say that, you know, Shannon was abused by her husband. Like, all mm-hmm. this stuff where, like, she says this stuff and then to actually... She doesn't know it's going to be... damaging to them beyond just, like, that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, I hear you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't trust Tamara. I found myself, like, not hating this episode. So
I didn't hate it. I think that, like, there's just, like, a real darkness to a lot of it that's making it hard to watch. I think the Ryan stuff is hard to watch.
Yeah.
Gina's confessional look where she's, like...
In the pink?
It's so bad. It's she real looks bad. So...
I know.
And I really do love Gina. I know. I really have a lot of, like, sympathy for her and I really like her and it just feels like she's... And then that party, she was just, like, really boozing it up and, like, I don't think that you can, like, you get a DUI, you can never drink again. But just, like, to know that that's, like, people's... impression of you that just happened
yeah.
and to drink that much on camera makes me feel like she's not thinking about like
she's lost at sea.
There's something about it that makes me really sad. All of that and then just like Emily's husband, I don't know, like I just feel bad and like the kind of moments of like levity are like Bronwyn and her husband having fake sex. I'm just like
Yeah, I 1,000% agree with you. And I do want to transition to one little thing.
Yes.
We're going to talk about darkness. I just need to talk about this because it was so insane to me that I just need to. The season finale of Southern Charm. You are not a Southern Charm.
I'm not a Southern Charm.
But do you know who Thomas Ravenel is?
Yes.
He has been replaced on the show by Shepherd Rose. And so anyone... who has watched this show, myself included, and started off believing in what Andy said, which was speaking of adorable dogs, that like Walker? Shep was Sheppy, like the Labradoodle essence of like somebody
got
that
it,
was like adorable
it,
and sweet. Shep has transitioned into being possibly the devil, and I have a satchel of gold from Jessica in Short Hills, New Jersey. These past two episodes of Southern Charm are pretty much the Pretty in Pink screenplay with Shep as Spader's Steph, Austin as simpering Andrew McCarthy, Blaine, and Madison as a cheerleader, Bizarro World, Ringwald. Full disclosure, I think someone in one of the Bravo Facebook groups made this comparison last week, but this week Shep really clinched the title. And there's a question there of... you know, has he always been this way? And we were so distracted by Thomas Ravenel that we didn't pick up on like probably huge clues. And I think that's entirely correct. I think that he's gotten worse through time, continued alcoholism and lack of drive. And this is what Shep Rose is the perfect example of, like people who have parents who have enormous wealth and are concerned about what that wealth will do to their like lack of their adult children's drive. And Shep is a perfect example of that, of someone who has no drive, has no purpose in life, is on this reality show, is genuinely a jealous, combative person. And there was a 3 a.m. it was like a 6 a.m. tape that came out that one of this cast member was had two women drunkenly stay over in his apartment, and his girlfriend, who's sort of a friend of on the show, was banging on his door and being like, what the fuck's going on? And one of the women secretly recorded the video of her walking in and being like, what the fuck is happening? And he's like yelling at her. And Shep decided as a way to steal narrative, exact revenge, make his good friend feel bad, and give a giant fuck you to this girlfriend who didn't want to fuck him, brings those two women to the finale party, and then is like, oh, I don't care about attention. Oh, why do you have to be mad at me? Oh, you're playing the victim. And it's like, he's playing the victim because you anointed that title onto him by your behavior. I think he's such a piece of shit. And if we're going to talk about social media in real life, if we're going to talk about like the 50 Shades of Ryan, then we need to talk about the 50 Shades of Shep, who went viral last week, I want to say, for making fun of a homeless woman and then becoming combative with viewers who were like, maybe don't do that. I don't know that the show needs him anymore, but regardless of whether or not he stays, I think that he's crossed over into being like a true asshole and should be some sort of parable for future co-stars or members of reality TV, or maybe just parents who have bajillions. Because I don't know if Bronwyn's husband has that adorable little story of like billionaires would give it all away if they could spend more time with their kids, I wonder what Shep's parents think of him, because I would like sincerely return to sender.
I'm sorry that I don't watch this show and have zero opinion about this.
Trust me, you hate him.
But
you would hate him.
But I will say, just to be clear, that Bronwyn's husband is gay. In my opinion.
And I'm sure his. Louis Peitzman, this... talk about an ending. Tell the folks how to subscribe to High Drama, your newsletter that covers horror, theater, housewives, and much more.
It's lewispeitzman.substack.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at lewispeitzman, and I tweet links to the newsletter when it goes up, so you can check it out.
I love it. And maybe there'll be like a fun synergy between horror and housewives as you continue to recap OC in
your newsletter. It's always a little bit of both.
Love it. This was such a joy. Guys, tweet me your thoughts and feels at Sarah Galley. I essentially exclusively get all of the satchels from Instagram. So if you're not following me and my beloved C-SPAN-esque Insta stories, you should at Dame Galley. Who's your favorite housewife? Venmo me a dollar and let me know. And just to recap some of the polls I did yesterday, whose side, Giselle or Monique? You guys voted 36% Giselle, 64% Monique. Whose side, Vicky v. Kelly? You said 16% Vicky, 84% Kelly. I gave you the Southern Charm that you asked for. And whose side, speaking of Southern Charm, Shep v. Austin? Shep 9%, Austin 91%. Guys, this was so fun. If you haven't,
epic.
If you haven't sent me something, I don't even know, just do it. That made a lot of sense. This was amazing, Louis Peitzman. I'm obsessed with you as always. And
thanks for having me. That's so much fun.
I love that. It was a total pleasure. I can't wait to kiki with you again soon. Okay, bye guys.
Bye.